Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Each year, the MIT Technology Review publishes a list of breakthrough technologies. From healthcare to energy efficiency to consumer electronics, the list gathers innovations aimed at solving some of the world's most intractable problems. On the line to run through a few examples of the breakthroughs, just published yesterday, by the way, is Brian Bergstein, deputy editor of the MIT Technology Review. Brian, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me, Virginia.
So there's so much that's created each year. What kind of criteria do you and your editorial team consider for breakthrough technology, game changers?
Yeah, we're looking for things that one way or another solve a problem. And the problem could be really big, like the fact that a growing portion of the population, as we get healthier and live longer, will have dementia and possibly need help with their memories, to problems that are maybe somewhat more trivial seeming, but are still problems in the sense of, information overload or, the way we interact with our devices. Each of these breakthroughs somehow fixes something that's off, and then as a result has a sort of big ripple effect in society.
Well, since you brought it up, I'd love to hear about this medical intervention. A neuroscientist at USC is working on reversing memory loss in Alzheimer's patients and others. Fill us in on this, if you would.
Yeah, this is a really interesting idea. I mean, basically, memories are formed through electrical impulses, and it wouldn't be the first time that you could actually electronically get into that stream. That we already have cochlear implants, for example, for people with hearing loss. Mm-hmm. The idea here is not that you would recreate memories or that you would make people all of a sudden have a fantastic memory capacity to sort of be trivia masters. It would be for people with severe memory loss from Alzheimer's, let's say. This scientist, Theodore Berger at USC, and his colleagues, they think that what you could do is give people a capacity to remember very basic short-term memories that are otherwise slipping right through their minds. And so the idea would be that it's possible. They've done very preliminary but groundbreaking work to show that you could possibly create a prosthetic that is implanted in the brain and makes it possible for people to remember what they're doing, essentially, their activities, so they don't, within 10 or 15 seconds forget even what they're doing. It's a beginning step, but it could have fascinating implications.
Other steps here: a non-invasive screening process for gathering prenatal DNA. Who's behind it, and what would that do?
There's a few researchers behind this. The idea is that you can sequence the genetic makeup. You can determine the genetic makeup of your child already, even while it's still in the womb. But it's doing that is invasive. Amniocentesis is mm-hmm. carries risks of miscarriage. If you can find out this information just by drawing the mother's blood, you're much more likely to do it. And so we think this has tremendous implications because parents will now have far more information about the genetic makeup of their unborn children. And it leads to all kinds of ethical questions about what they would do with the information.
We're talking about MIT's 2013 list of the top 10 breakthrough technologies with Brian Bergstein. He's deputy editor of the MIT Technology Review. Well, those are some very big ideas solving big problems, but there are other innovations in consumer technology. Tell us about the next step in going small. This is the Pebble Watch, basically a wearable computer.
Yeah, so we're at this moment in computing that's really interesting. It's possible now to carry so much computing power in your bag or in your pocket in the form of a smartphone. And computing is being miniaturized to the point where Google wants to start selling Google Glass, mm-hmm. which is, a sensor and a camera and a monitor in the frame of your eyeglasses. We think that the smartwatch is interesting because it brings back or it touches on a longstanding social custom of checking your watch as a way to interact with computing. So yes, it's possible to constantly be fiddling on your smartphone. Yes, I guess it's possible that people will want to wear Google Glass and, you know, have this monitor in front of their eye all the time. But just checking your watch, glancing at information, it's a very simple idea. But the breakthrough is that there could be a far easier, more socially acceptable way of getting information. You glance at your watch when you have an email rather than pulling out your phone. You get an update about something, you just glance at your watch. It's not an input mechanism. You're not going to start typing on your watch. It's more just a sort of much more subtle, passive way to interact with information.
Well, I think a lot of people are interested in this kind of integrated technology. In fact, more than 10 million people helped Eric Mijakovsky, who came up with the prototype basically in his dorm room, through Kickstarter. Now, this is an interesting part of what's developing in technology, how technology is getting funded. What percentage of the things on your list go on to get big funding and actually turn into mainstream products?
Well, this is a good question. If we look back at our list, we've done this since 2001. That's when this debuted. And then we didn't do it in 2002. We've done it every year since 2003. And it turns out that our track record is, we think, pretty good. But the hardest thing for us to predict actually tends to be this path to commercialization. So we've predicted... Some of the breakthroughs we've had in the past have included things that seemed really cool and interesting to us, like Siri, augmented reality, things like that that seemed right around the horizon 5-6 years ago. You know, we're now starting to see that come to fruition. Where we've been less successful is where we saw something really cool, undeniably innovative, but it turned out that there was not a clear path to the market. One example I love is a few years ago we did green concrete. This was various ways of making concrete that would have a much, much lower carbon dioxide footprint. And basically, there has not really been a good commercial method to create this yet. It's possible to do it, but it just hasn't really happened. So that is not always easy to see. There's ways that technologies kind of get hung up for a few years. They don't entirely go away, but that's exactly one of the things we think is interesting about our list is we hope it gives people, new ideas about what to watch and what could be possible if only, the funding were there or the market incentives were there.
Right, and they're not always sort of market driven. For example, there is an interesting implication here for healthcare worldwide, a way to gather data from simple cell phones that can help provide insight into the spread of disease. Got just a couple minutes left here. How does that work?
Yeah, so the idea is that if you can anonymize the data, you know, which is to say you strip out the actual customers' and subscribers' names, you can track broad swaths of how people are moving about. And it turns out that some researchers are doing fascinating work in Africa to figure out where people are moving right before there is an outbreak of malaria. So in our issue, we talk about a study in Kenya where by watching how people moved about as represented by their interactions, their cell phones interactions with cell phone towers, it was possible to figure out where a group of migrant workers were most likely to be getting malaria. And if you know that, you can then target interventions. You can, decide where to focus your efforts to spray puddles and distribute bed netting and things like that. So you can be far more precise about your interventions when you know more, and you know more from this huge amount of data that comes from cell phone networks.
Brian Bergstein, you have a pretty fun job, don't you?
It is great. Yes, it's very inspiring.
Brian Bergstein, Deputy Editor of MIT Technology Review, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
MIT's 2013 list of breakthroughs was published yesterday, and you'll find a link to read more about all 10 at wordofmouthradio.org. And stay with us for a New England band working on its own kind of breakthrough. Darlingside plays live in Studio D when Word of Mouth continues.